message tonight that you need to hear. And I needed to hear it first. I had to preach it to me first. And I need to hear it again. And I hope it'll be a help. I hope it'll be a help to you. And it's something that probably not one in here that can say at times, you know what? Kind of let that slip a little bit in my Christian life. And I'm going to be preaching on prayer tonight. Prayer, Luke chapter 11, and a famous discourse by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on this topic of prayer. Luke chapter 11 and verse 1, and it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, he knew better than to interrupt him when he was praying, amen, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. And he said unto them, when ye pray, say, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so in earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He said unto them, Which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight, and say unto him, Friend, lend me three loaves, for I have a friend of mine, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, Trouble me not, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. And I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So that's ask, seek, knock. I think that's pretty cool. Ask begins with A, seek begins with S, knock begins with K, A-S-K. Ask. In English, hallelujah. Verse 11. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? My boys know better than to ask me for an egg. You get that later. Amen. Because if they don't specify cooked. All right, verse 13. If ye then being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, don't you? How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? And so here in first one, the disciples ask a request, a good request. The Lord doesn't rebuke them for asking it. As a matter of fact, He answers them very directly. They have a serious question, and they'd like to know. And the request is simple, Lord, teach us to pray. That's a good request. But if you really think about it, the request in itself is a prayer. They already knew how to pray. This disciple just went to Jesus and asked him, Lord, teach us to pray. What's he doing right there? He's praying. He's praying to the Lord and saying, Lord, help me with something. Help me with something. You know, we're real good. A lot of times we get up here, and I had to watch myself on this. I don't want to get deep on this. I want to keep it simple. Because God made prayer simple. God didn't make prayer difficult. God made it easy to comprehend, easy to do, easy to perform. And so right now, as we begin to preach this message on prayer, why don't you pray that in your own heart? Lord, teach me to pray. If there's something I'm missing, something I'm not understanding, Lord, teach me to pray. Amen. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Ask His blessing on the message. Brother Ken, would you pray for us, please?
Father, I just pray for Pastor Word that you'd fill him with the Spirit of God. Lord, I pray that you give liberty and freedom to preach on the subject of prayer. God, we need thee. But God, we need to be a praying people. I know, God, we are a praying church, and yet with the hustle and bustle of life, Lord God, there's times gaps come in, Lord God. Would you help us tonight? God, would you meet with us tonight? God, would you draw us nearer to thee tonight? Lord God, would you help us to sanctify time in our schedules? Lord God, that we get along with thee and pray. God, bless preacher. Now, Lord God, I pray you guide him. God, I pray, Lord, that he preach to me. Get a hold of me. Lord God, I pray that you bless now in Jesus' name.
Amen. Of all the Christian endeavors that God gives us to do, I believe that prayer is the most important and the easiest. And yet, at the same time, the most difficult. Why is that? When you consider, there's nothing strenuous about it. There's nothing hard or difficult about it. There's nothing we have to say, well, you know what, when I'm saved 10 years, I might be able to start praying good. How'd you get saved? Do you know how your Christian life started? You prayed, didn't you? Lord Jesus, listen, you can't get saved without praying. When Jesus talks about prayer, he considers it to that of a little child. Just simply asking. That's prayer. They ask the Lord this question, and he gives them three verses for a prayer. Isn't that something? Now, today, we could have come up with at least 12 books on the subject. The Lord gives three verses. Here, this will do. And I believe a lot of times what prevents, you know what I found for me? I started feeling like if I'm going to pray, I got to pray at least an hour. But you know what that started doing? That started giving me excuses not to pray because I didn't have an hour. Would it hurt to pray for 5 minutes? Is there any of us that couldn't pray for 5 minutes three or four times a day? 5 minutes? You'd be surprised what could happen in 5 minutes. What I read you there on prayer didn't take but maybe 2 or 3. 5 minutes of prayer, you could get something done. Because see, in prayer, all we're doing is asking. All we're doing is trying to get plugged in. Because God's a big God. All we need to do is get a hold of Him. When God moves, something can get done. Oh, we can accomplish a whole lot more on our knees than we can a lot of times in our own efforts. Amen. And many times we can complicate the simple. Children can be great prayer warriors. What can I do for the Lord? You can pray. You can pray for your mom and dad. You can pray for your church. You can pray for the other kids at church. You can pray for your preacher. You can pray for your Sunday school teacher. Pray for your youth pastor. You can do all that in 5 minutes. 5 minutes a day, young people. What God might do with that. Amen. And here in this passage, we have a lesson on prayer from our Lord Jesus Christ. And so the first thing we see in this passage of Scripture, verses 2 through 4, is what to pray. Well, I don't know, Brother Ray, I don't know what to pray. Well, here, verses 2 through 4 encompasses what we should pray. Look in verse 2, and he said unto them, When ye pray, say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And so we see the first part of prayer should always be Godward. When we begin to pray, it should always look to God, to glorify God, to exalt our Savior, to magnify His name, to lift Him up, to give thanks and honor and praise and worship to God, to exalt Him, to brag upon Him. I was praying one time and I was bragging on God, and I started bragging too much on Him. Just kidding. That's impossible. I could just spend the rest of this message down here bragging on God and I couldn't overdo it. Hey, let me ask you something. When's the last time you just said, I'm going to pray, and you prayed and you didn't ask for a thing? All you did is got down on your face and thanked God and told Him how good He was and how wonderful He was and how much you loved Him and how much you appreciated being His child. Wow. Godward. Now, I don't know about you. I don't particularly care for it when people are bragging on me. Because I don't know. I just get kind of uncomfortable. And I know people mean well. You go in some other church to preach or something, they want to start saying things about you. And I always feel like I'm in there with other preachers. I honestly just feel like I'm a mule at the Kentucky Derby, man. I'm back there just saying, what in the world are they talking about? But listen, when you talk about glorifying God and bragging on Him and praising Him, come on now, you can't overdo that. I mean, when's the last time you just spent some time bragging on God? When we pray, that ought to always be first. We instituted a thing now on Wednesday nights. We try to remember to do that every week. Before we ever start taking up prayer requests, we first take up testimonies and give thanks to God for what He's done. Amen? For the prayers He has answered, for how good He has been. Just lifting Him up. We just don't want to just barge right in and just ask Him for stuff. How would you like it if the only time your kids came to talk to you is when they wanted something from you? Yeah. Anyway, now think about it. Isn't it good just sometimes when they just want to come and just talk, just to talk? Amen? Just spend some time with you? Wouldn't that be something? Listen, when Solomon goes to dedicate that temple, what's the first thing he starts doing? It's Godward. Oh God, there's no God like Thee in heaven above. And he just starts bragging on the Lord. That prayer we looked at this morning with David praying for Solomon and all that, dedication of the things for the temple, what's the first thing he does? He starts bragging on God and lifting up God. That's example all the way through the Bible. Amen? When we pray, we need to just come before God and see Him as He truly is. Hey, listen, if you're having a problem with pride at all, with humility at all you need to do is get God in His proper place and you'll take care of the rest. Come on, how can any of us be proud or high-minded when we can come before a God as holy and as pure and as loving and as good and as powerful and all omniscient and all everything and come before a God like that and not feel so small and so insignificant? And then to think that a God like that would care about us and think about us and want to even fellowship with us. It should just put us in awe. Amen. As we come before His throne. And so the first part of what the Lord says here in this thing to ask for is we just need to first keep it Godward. And then secondly, notice there in verse 3, give us day by day our daily bread. Hey, tell God your needs. Ask. Just simply ask. The Bible says, My God shall provide all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. You just come before God and say, Lord, this is my need. This is what's going on. Lord, would you do this for me? He may say no. It never hurts to ask. Come on now. My kids don't get everything they ask for. Your kids don't get everything they ask for. God might not give you everything that you ask for, but hey, it never hurts. It never hurts to ask. Just ask the Lord. Might catch Him in a good mood or something. Amen. I mean, you know, come on. Just it ain't going to hurt to ask Him. Ask Him. I'm sure if nothing else, He'd just appreciate you talking to Him. So if you have some needs, ask Him. You know what happens a lot of times, though, I believe, is we want to go before God and ask Him, but we get to point two before we started on point one. Before we started thanking Him, before we started glorifying Him, before we started praising Him. You know what some do? They go and ask others before they ever ask God. Come on now. Just had a lady call us up. First thing out of her mouth, she calls the church. She says, I need help with my water bill. Amen. So I said, Sister Tammy, take care of that. Amen. I know how to handle those things. It's just a gall or something. I don't know. I don't understand it. I don't know who they think we are. You know, we're just sinners saved by grace. We ain't no bunch of rich people or nothing. And people just think they can come to a church like the church has a money machine or something, you know. Listen, if you have needs, you go to God. Talk to God. Ask God about it. How rich is God? Is God able to cover it? Come on now. Just go to Him. Tell Him what you need. He's able to take care of that. Problem is some, listen, they go to others instead of going to God. And some, all they do is they go in there and ask for their needs. What do you say? They give us day by day our. That's incorporated there. That's all, see? I can't just go to God and just pray and ask God to provide for my needs. What about my brothers and sisters and their needs? Huh? There's a lot of brothers and sisters, they got it worse off than I do. And I'm not going to pray for them, but I'm going to pray for me. We have Wednesday night prayer meeting. And every Wednesday night, we pray. Amen. Revival or not, special meeting or not, we don't want to miss out on that prayer. 5 o'clock Sunday night, men's prayer. Amen. It's important. It's important. I know a lot of churches, they meet on Wednesday and they have Bible study and maybe sing some songs, but there's no prayer. And on Sundays, there's no prayer, and they're just expecting the people to kind of pray on their own, and maybe you do, and maybe you've set up some kind of schedule to pray, and I hope you have. But as a church, we need to meet together, find out each other's needs, and pray for one another. Amen. Amen. That's a good thing to remember to do. They're just the simple needs. We take them to God. He says, you have not because you ask not. And so when it comes to prayer, we see we've got four categories here. The first one is prayer that's Godward, giving glory to God, exalting the Lord. And then secondly, asking God to provide for your needs. And then thirdly, look in verse 4, and forgive us our sins. And so the third area is that area of forgiveness, asking God for mercy, confessing our sins, repenting of what the Lord has shown us is wrong in our lives and the wrong directions and the wrong motives that we have. I believe the main fruit of prayer is fellowship with God. I believe that's the main desire from God, why He wants us to pray. God could just take care of all our needs. He already knows what they are anyways. I mean, really, when you think about it, have you ever prayed and God said, wow, I didn't think of that? Have we ever surprised God with something when we prayed? He already knew, didn't He? Does the Bible say, my God shall provide all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus if you pray? He just said He'd provide them. So why do we pray? Well, listen, because God desires fellowship with you and I, primarily, above everything else. He just wants us to come and talk to Him. Amen. And He wants us to come and have fellowship with Him. And for that to happen, we're going to have to confess our sins. We're going to have to check our hearts and make sure our hearts are right. And I believe that that one issue there is what prevents God's people from prayer more than anything else. Am I right? Come on, there's been times where that was the one thing, I'm not ready yet. I don't really want to face God with this right now. And you get that Adam and Eve syndrome where you're kind of hiding amongst the trees of the garden and the voice of the Lord is calling. But you know you're going to have to come in there. You're going to have to face the music. Amen. Come on, be honest. What we need to do is we just need to every time, all right, let's get this settled down, get it over with. It doesn't hurt a lot. Amen. Get it over with. Get in there, confess, ask for forgiveness, make sure you've truly repented in your heart. Amen. And decide that you're going to do right with God. And mostly, notice what it said there, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us. You know, when you pray to God, you got to check your heart, don't you? It's not just confessing your sins. It's asking God to reveal your sins. It's asking God to say, Lord, would you please forgive me as I have forgiven everyone else? Come on now. In other words, Lord, have I truly forgiven everyone else? Lord, do I got anything in my heart against a brother or sister? Lord, do I have anything in my heart that's hindering fellowship with you? Lord, reveal my heart. Show me who I really am. Show me my failings. Show me, Lord, what's going on. That's part of it, see? Because a lot of times you can come in there and think everything's okay and start praying, and then all of a sudden the Lord say, hey, you remember when you said that or you did that or you looked at that or you were thinking that? And as we come in prayer, God's able to begin showing those things. You would have never seen that if you hadn't prayed. You would have just kept going on like everything. Listen, you need to pray. And you get in there and you make sure that prayer is God's word and bring God your needs. But don't forget, you need to confess your sins. You need to check your own fellowship and walk with the Lord when you come in prayer. Amen? And that's one of the great things about prayer. You ought to be able to get up from prayer every time knowing, man, everything's good with me and God. Praise God. Amen. Every time you get up from prayer, you ought to know that and say, glory to God. Me and God are good. All confessed up, all straightened out. Here we go. Lord, walk with me. Show me, help me, teach me, strengthen me for the battles that lie ahead. Amen. Confess. Listen, how could a Christian pray and truly, sincerely pray on a daily basis and ever have a problem with strife and bitterness and envy? How do you do it? How can you come naked into the very throne room of God with that stuff in your life and God not tear you to shreds? How do you do it? I could never do that. How do you do that? Or just do you not pray? I wonder which one's worse. But I know Christians that have done it. I know Christians who've got bitterness in their heart and strife and envy, and they just come before God and God never shows them. I'm just wondering who they were really talking to. Because for me, man, I come before God and I start talking to God. If I got aught against any brother, if I got anything going on in my life, the Lord's right there saying, now, come on. You need to take care of that. Now, I just wonder about these Christians that can go on for months and years with that stuff in their heart. What kind of walk do they have with God? My goodness. I'd hate to have to fake my Christian life like that. And so we see when it comes to these categories of prayer, we've got that prayer which is Godward. And then we have to get to that place where we're confessing our sins and having God check our heart, asking God to provide for our needs and the needs of others. And then finally he says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And that covers the prayer, the areas of deliverance. In other words, whatever you're struggling with right now. Whatever temptations you're dealing with, whatever problems are in your life, whatever's going on, you bring it to God. Ask God to deliver you. Ask God to strengthen you. Ask God to give you the victory. Ask God to cut loose those cords of iniquity that are holding you back. See, you come in there enough confessing your sins, after a while you might just decide you want deliverance so you don't have to keep confessing it. Now, there's nothing deep about this, is there? I'm trying to make it just real plain, real out in the open. Here it is. The Lord showed us what to pray. And all that we pray is either God word or confessing our own sins and what we need to do and asking for our needs and the needs of others. And then also to remember to pray for victory. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Have you prayed? Have you asked God to provide that way of escape? Brother Ray, it's getting heavy. Have you got on your face and said, God, would you lighten the load? God, would you help me? God, would you strengthen me? God, would you lead me? Would you guide me? Help me through this situation. Help me with what's going on right now. Lord, I'm having a tough time in this area right now in my life. Lord, help me through it. Learn to trust Him. Learn to lean on Him. And watch Him bring victories. Watch Him give deliverance in your life. And all our prayer really is going to fall into one of those categories. But the most important thing is just to ask. Tell God your needs. Bring them before Him. And so the Lord has made it very plain what we should pray. He also makes it very plain how we should pray. Notice verse 5, and He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend, and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine is in a journey, has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not, the door is now shut, my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give thee. I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend. Notice, friend, 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 that whole way through. Friend, friend, friend. Hey, the Lord's our friend. We want to be His friend, and that's an important thing of prayer. But God says we need to take it a step past just a friendship thing when we're asking God. Verse 8, I say unto you, though He will not rise and give him because he's His friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Importunity. Webster's 1828, pressing solicitation, urged with troublesome frequency. How about it? You know, Brother Nate had mentioned it in men's prayer, and then the Lord was just dealing with me about it yesterday as I was going over some of the things for the message. And I haven't been praying for my lost relatives as much as I used to. Kind of slacked up on it. You know, after a while, you're just like, what's the point? You really start feeling that way. But Lord dealt with me about it. Now, you know what? If they all end up going to hell, they're going to go to hell with me praying for them every day. With me just continuing to bother God about it and go to God about it time after time after time and not quit and not faint. Over in James chapter 5, look there with me if you would, please hold your place in Luke. James chapter 5, we get the explanation of this importunity, this pressing solicitation, this urge with troublesome frequency. James chapter 5, verse 16, confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. What availeth much? Effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. That's it. You know you're living right with God, you're close to Him, and you get in there with God, and it's effectual and fervent. Effectual. I mean, you're hitting right on the head of what exactly it is you're asking for. You're being very precise. And fervent. That means heated. That's hot. That's the urgency. That's the seriousness. That's the soberness with what you're asking God. You're letting God know, God, I'm serious. God, I need help. God, sister so-and-so needs help. God, that family needs your help. And getting a hold of the throne of God with seriousness and urgency. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are. You know what that means? He had sinful flesh just like you and me. Amen. But you know what he did? He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. That guy stopped the rain for 3.5 years and then brought it in again with prayer. With prayer. What is that? That's that urgency. Listen, kids know how to do that. How many of you got children? Raise your hand. Maybe they're grown now, but you remember when they weren't. And how many times have they come before you and asked you for something? And you said, no. And then they ask you again. Didn't you hear me the first time? Yeah, but they're thinking they're going to get a different answer this time. And sometimes they say after it, and guess what? Oh, right. Well, whatever. Okay. You give in to them, you weaklings. Amen. No, you know what that is? That's a lesson on prayer. Next time they do that with you, why don't you let God talk to you about you doing that with Him? Well, I asked God, really? How many times? How urgently? How much did you work on it? Hey, wives. Importunity. You know what that means? That means nagging. Amen. I mean, you asked me that already. Quit nagging me about it. You know what God says? I want you to nag me. Yes. Exactly it. That's the lesson. Importunity. Just keep asking me till you bother me so much, I'll just say, all right, go ahead. And ladies, you know how to do that. Nobody had to teach you. You were born with that gift. Use it for God. Huh? How about it? Here's one here. Listen to this. This is in London. Barbara Pierce. You talk about nagging someone to death? Check this out. Barbara Pierce nagged her boyfriend about getting married. She nagged him about buying a house. She nagged him about having a family. Doctor said her nagging paid off. Her boyfriend, Logan, was knocked unconscious in a 100-mile-an-hour motorcycle accident while practicing for the Isle of Man Grand Prix. Without regaining consciousness, David's brain would have deteriorated and he'd become a vegetable. After 17 days of non-stop nagging from his girlfriend, he woke up out of a coma. She nagged him to life. Now listen, think about it. What did God say He wants you to do? Nag him. Hey, here's something, ladies. Just think about this. What if you nagged God about it instead of your husband? Which way you think you're going to get better results? You know, they got all this stuff about equal rights and women are just as good. Hey, ladies, you want to be equal with a man? I can tell you how to do it. Go just like this. And you're just as equal as any of us. Now, why don't you try that? You want to be equal with a man? You know what the world says, ladies? Just keep lifting yourself up. No, you want to be equal with a man? That's the place where we're all on even ground. You want civil rights? Try bended knee rights.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm not talking about vain repetition. You understand? I'm not talking about just come before, like, Jesus gives this prayer. I don't believe the disciples walked around with that prayer card on them, repeating that same prayer over and over again. He was giving them an example. This is the kind of things you need to ask for. See? I know, they couldn't pray without a prayer book. A couple guys were out hunting one time. Yeah, I think they were Episcopalians or something. They had their little prayer books, their little missals. And the one guy got bit by a snake. He said, man, you got to pray for me. You got to pray for me. I don't want to die. He says, hold on. He takes out his prayer book and he starts looking through this thing and he says, there is nothing in here for a snake bite, man. You're going to have to die. I'm not talking about vain repetition. I'm just talking about it because it's not vain. If it's serious, if it's a serious request, it's not vain. You're not just saying words just to say words, but you're coming before God with a need. Some of you right now have lost loved ones. Some of you right now have a financial need, have a health concern. My recommendation to you, get a hold of God. Ask. Seek. Knock. Look with me in Matthew chapter 15. Have you ever considered this? Look at this lady here. You know who she is. Matthew chapter 15. This is that Canaanite woman. And she comes to ask the Lord for something. She had a need. Here in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, look at verse 22. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. But he answered and said, now he's answering her, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So she comes, she tells the Lord her need, and the Lord says, sorry, I don't think so. Now, truth be known, for most of us, that would be the end of the story. But not for this woman. She didn't quit. How about that? She believed that maybe she could create a little importunity here. She's putting the Lord on the spot in front of all these disciples. She ain't quitting. Her daughter has a need. And that mama loves her daughter enough, she's going to get a hold of that Lord and she's going to get what she needs. And she ain't quitting. Not first or second time. Verse 25, then she came, look at it, and worshiped him. Let's try this again. Saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. Turn down again. By now, she obviously should quit, but she doesn't. And she said, truth, Lord. Yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Look at that thing. She don't quit. She keeps asking. She keeps, and the whole time she's asking, you know what she's doing? She's getting lower. She's getting lower. The Lord's getting lifted up. The Lord's getting lifted up. And she gets her request. A good lesson on importunity. Dr. Wilbur Chapman wrote a friend, saying this, I have learned some great lessons concerning prayer. At one of our missions in England, the audience was exceedingly small. But I received a note saying that an American missionary was going to pray for God's blessing down on our work. He was known as Praying Hyde. How'd you like to be such a prayer warrior that your first name to most people was Praying? I can't imagine that. That's how they referred to this guy. Praying. Does anybody know what his first name was? Isn't that something? You know how we all remember it? Praying Hyde. And so he asked Praying High to pray. Almost instantly, the tide turned. The hall became packed. And at my first invitation, 50 men accepted Christ as their Savior. As we were leaving, I said, "Mr. Hyde, I want you to pray for me." He came to my room, turned the key in the door, and dropped on his knees and waited 5 minutes without a single syllable coming from his lips. I could hear my own heart thumping and his beating. I felt hot tears running down my face. I knew I was with God. And then with upturned face, down while the tears were streaming, he said, "Oh God." Then for 5 minutes at least, he was still again. And then when he knew that he was talking with God, there came from the depths of his heart such petitions for me as I had never heard before. I rose from my knees to know what real prayer was. We believe that prayer is mighty, and we believe it as we never did before. In the previous chapter, love, joy, peace. What's the next fruit of the Holy Spirit? In prayer, are you? You going to stay at it? You going to stay at it? What to pray? How to pray? Get serious. Get low. Get a hold of God. And finally, why we pray. Why we pray. Look back there in Luke chapter 11. Verse 11, "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" We know what to pray for. We glorify God, confess our sins, and let God check our heart. We ask God for our needs. We ask God for deliverance. We pray earnestly. We pray to get a hold of heaven's door. Get a hold of the Lord's nail-pierced feet in our prayer, so that God will move and help and deliver. But then we must pray knowing that we have a Father that loves us, that cares about us, and wants us to commune with Him, and has promised that He'd be good to us, that He would answer, that He would help, that He would deliver. Now, let me tell you something. I'm serious. Now listen, God loves you. You're His child. He loves you and He does care about you. What other reason do you need to pray? He's been waiting. He shouldn't have to. He's the prodigal's father. Running out, looking for that son to come home. He cares about you. He's promised to provide all your needs. He's promised to help when the times get hard. He's promised to lighten the load when the weight gets too heavy. If you're saved, your Father loves you. Let me say it again. If you're saved, your Father loves you. Why haven't you asked Him? Why didn't you spend any time with him? The Bible says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Look with me in 2 Samuel chapter 12. I have people that will come by my office, knock on the door, hey, Brother Ray, you got a minute? Sure, man. What can I do you for? My wife and kids don't do that. They got a key. They just come right on in. My wife does it at least 3 times a day. I hear the key in the door. Here she comes. Boom. Or one of the kids. Boom. Just coming right on in like they own the place. Say, why? Because they're family. You have a father in heaven. God's your father. He'd like to spend some time with you. He'd like you to come talk to him. Say, I don't know what to say. Just tell him that. Just thank him and tell him how good he is. Ask him to help you with whatever's going on in your life. He'll do what he can for you. What could God do for you? We think of our earthly fathers when we have a need. We might go to them. Maybe they can help us. Maybe they can't. What's out of God's purview? What can't God do? In 2 Samuel in chapter 12 and verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel. I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives of Israel, of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. David wanted what God didn't want him to have. That's what got him in trouble. But what did God just tell him? David, if you had come, I would have been glad to do all these other things for you. I would have been glad to give you this and give you that, help you out with this and help you out with that. That's God. God's saying, why would you go and do that? Whatever you would have needed from my hand, I would have helped you. I mean, that's the words of a father right there. Look in Luke chapter 15. Here's the Lord discussing the Father once again. And you get this picture all through the Bible on this thing. And the prodigal son's just come home. And the older brother, he's a little jealous. Verse 30, but as soon as this thy son was come, which hath devoured thy living with harlots, thou hast killed for him the fatted calf. Now notice what the father says to him. He said unto him, son, thou art ever with me. Whew. Man, that ought to be enough. Thou art ever with me. And watch this. All that I have is thine. Are you an heir of God? Is that what that Bible says? Does your father care about you? Does he love you? Mom and dad, what would you do for your child if you could? I mean, who do you think you are? You think you're better than God? You think about what you would do for your child. What will God do for you? Maybe he's just asking you to, waiting for you to come and ask him. I mean, think about what he's already given us. Eternal life, a gold mansion, an eternal home. He's given us his words. He's given us his promises. He's given us his Holy Spirit. He's provided our every need. Look there in Psalm 37, Psalm 37. Like I said, just nothing deep here, just real, simple, practical message. But I tell you what, if you're like me, I'd much rather hear a message on prayer than pray. I'd much rather listen to a 45-minute message on prayer than to pray for 45 minutes. I'm just being honest with you. I'm just being flat-out honest with you. I'm embarrassed to say that. But it's just the truth. It's just the flat-out truth. It's just who I am. I'd much rather sing hymns for 45 minutes or run the aisles for 45 minutes, hear preaching for 45 minutes, witness, preach on the street for 45 minutes, than to pray for 45 minutes. Why? Boy, our flesh just can't stand it. Let's be honest. Our flesh would rather read the Bible, listen to preaching, witness, do anything before prayer. And yet it's the most simplest, easiest thing to do. You know what that tells me? That's the thing that scares the devil more than anything else. You count on it. You mark that down. Psalm 37, look there in verse 4. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. How about it? Maybe you got something right now. You got a desire. You know it's godly. And you'd like to see God come through on you. Why don't we have a prayer meeting for a little while? Why don't we do that? Wouldn't it be a terrible thing if I preached on prayer and we all went home, we didn't pray? Now the altar's open. Let's go. Come on, let's pray as a church. Let's just spend a few minutes in prayer. Let's get a hold of God. You got something right now. Maybe it's been burdening. It's something on your heart. Right now, let's take it to God. Let's get real with God. Let's bring it right out there with the Lord and just say, now, Lord, this is the desire of my heart. And I'm praying. Lord, would you do it? You might be looking at it and saying, I don't see how. It's impossible. Listen, what's impossible for God? You talk about a blank check, buddy. Come on, what an opportunity. How about it? Right now, say, Lord, would you do this one thing for me? And while y'all are at it, why don't you do this? Lord, would you help our church? Lord, help us all to be that church you want us to be. Lord, show me if I'm in any way hindering you and what you're wanting to do here. Help me to get my heart right, my attitude right towards my brothers and sisters. I just flat out confess to you all, I haven't been praying like I should. And God dealt with me about it in this message. As your pastor, I need to be praying more for y'all. For myself, for my family. It seems like such a simple thing and such an easy thing, which means it's so simple and easy to let it slip. To forget about its true importance. Because it's not so much about us, the prayers, as it is to the one whom we're praying to. If you're God's child, God has told you to ask. He's told you to seek. He's told you to knock and to be open. Just keep nagging him. He don't mind. He don't mind. Just keep asking him. You're not going to bother him. Lord, we need you. God, I just feel like such a hypocrite preaching this message. Because, Lord, I haven't been praying as much as I should. And, Lord, they ask, teach us to pray. And Lord, I've tried just to make it plain, teach about prayer. But, Lord, more important than teaching us how to pray is just teaching us to pray. And, Lord, it's so easy to let other things get in there, Lord, and become more important than what should be the most important endeavor in our Christian lives. God, we should put it ahead of everything else when it comes to our walk with you. We should look at prayer as the first thing and the last thing for every day on this earth. Help us as your people, God, to pray, to get a hold of the throne, or to see it move and work in our church and our families. We thank you, Lord, for how good you've been to us, all you've provided, all you've done. But God, we do want to put you to the test, Lord. You don't seem to have too much trouble putting us to the test, Father. You try our faith. You try our love. And Lord, we don't always pass those tests. Come short many times. But Lord, you always pass the test. And so, Lord, right now in faith, we're asking you, Lord, Father, with all the requests that have come up before you now, I'm asking you, God, to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think. I'm asking you to prove yourself strong. Prove your love to us, Lord, please. Lord, I'm not trying to challenge you. I'm not. You know my heart. But Lord, I am coming before you knowing that because of who you are and how holy you are, God, that you're able to do more than we could ever ask, more than we could ever imagine, because you really are that good and that great. Lord, I just thank you for the blood of your Son. I thank you, Lord, just for being with your people tonight. Just a down-to-earth, real plain, straight, right-over-the-plate message on prayer. God, truth be known, we probably, most of us, needed it tonight. Just get reminded, if nothing else, Lord. Bring these things once again to our remembrance, that we would not let it slip, that we'd always keep the first things first in our Christian walk and Christian lives. Now, Father, be with your people. Bless them. Lord, meet their needs. I pray that we'd hear some great, Lord, some great testimonies Wednesday night of what already our God has done, Lord, in the lives of your people. Now, Father, we just pray that your name be blessed and glorified through each of our walk this week with thee. We ask and pray all these things now in Jesus Christ's precious and holy name. Amen. Amen. All right, let's stand and we'll sing a song.